This is We Digress. Today is February 11th, Monday, 2008, with your hosts Jeffrey Clues and Andrew Paulus.
And our top story is, of course, in politics, Huckabee and Obama.
Yeah.
Both have been doing incredible things. Let's start with Huckabee. He swept pretty much all the states on Saturday.
Yeah, I remember you actually calling me very concerned.
Yes. He ended up not winning them all, but he ended up losing Washington, but barely. And he ended up also losing, I believe, Louisiana, because even though he got the most votes, he didn't get over 50%, so the delegates don't count.
Strange.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. But still, I think that was a big surprise for everyone.
Yeah, do you have the things up here?
No, I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, now, just as far as delegates are looking, mm-hmm. Do you know off the top of your head approximately where we're at?
Well, yeah. With the math, Huckabee cannot win. He could win every single delegate that's left, and he would not have enough to win the nomination.
Right.
So basically, he's just staying into it for, I don't know what his reasons are, to be honest. McCain's going to get the nomination at this point. There's nothing that can change that, because there's still a lot of big states to come that are going to heavily favor McCain.
Right.
You know, he's got over 700 delegates at this point, needs about 1,100 to get the nomination.
Do you know approximately how many Mike Huckabee has?
He's around 250, I believe.
Okay.
He's still trailing Romney. I mean, he hasn't won any big states yet, so...
Right, right.
But, of course, you know, Texas coming up as well, a couple others. That's a lot of delegates right there.
Yeah.
And it could be enough to push McCain over. And Huckabee has stated that if McCain gets the amount needed for nomination, that then the race is over and he will drop out.
Right.
But that's still going to be a couple weeks. I actually have an interesting theory, and you can tell me if this is right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's staying in it to keep the news cycle, the Republicans in it. If McCain's the nominee and he drops out, that means McCain's nominee, no one's going to focus on that. All the news is going to be on
Hillary and Obama.
Obama, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that would be damaging. I think they want to keep people talking about the Republicans as well. It probably isn't that simple, but I think there is some of the thinking going into it.
If that's his plan right there, that's a pretty brilliant plan. I definitely, it's what I've been seeing in the news lately.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what? If that's his going, I mean, we've seen a lot of decisions from Mike Huckabee lately that have not really made much sense until after the fact.
Right. Though now he has proven himself to be a viable candidate, at least, that people will vote for him. But the amount he won by, wasn't that really surprising?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, we're talking like 60% to 30%
Oh, yeah.
In some cases. And, you know, Ron Paul, I don't remember which one it was, you had 22% to McCain's 24 to Huckabee's, you know, 50.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised that I mean, when you called me and told me that Mike mm-hmm. Huckabee was taking so many states, when I got home and looked it up, I was expecting, you know, a couple of percentage
points,
maybe
yeah.
even 10 in some instances, but
yeah.
not to that
right.
extreme.
The only one that McCain won, it was Washington, that was by only 2 percentage points.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think they've actually officially declared it.
Is it still that close?
It's still, I think they're doing a recount.
Wow.
So that's really incredible. And equally amazing, or I think equally even more amazing, is Obama's performance in the past couple of days. I believe he has won the last 9 in a row.
Without the superdelegates, he is in the lead, right?
Without the superdelegates, he is in the lead, yes.
Okay.
Now,
all
of course, there's the, should we include superdelegates, should we not include them? That's, of course, still the question going back and forth. And also Michigan and Florida, the big debate within the DNC is should they seat those delegates, with Hillary Clinton saying, of course, yes, and Obama saying no.
Right.
I think he's on the right in this case. They were told not to campaign there. In Michigan, Hillary is the only major candidate on the ticket.
Yeah.
How would it be fair then to seat those delegates if it wasn't true competition?
No, that seems to go against the idea of democracy.
Right. And you know, one of the things they've been talking about is having a caucus instead to seat them, because it's a big race. So throwing a caucus in those, I think that would be a good idea. Though, of course, Clinton doesn't like that because
right,
Obama's won every caucus except for two.
Right. Now, it is just in my opinion, the fact that these things are going on after, well, so many elections mm-hmm. in our history, does that at least for you show any kind of, I guess, unrest or a lack of confidence in our system?
Well, what's important to remember also is that the whole primary system is fairly new. It wasn't back in the days of Hamilton. It wasn't
right.
It wasn't
right.
used. And this is definitely the closest election we've ever seen. And I think, at least on the Democratic side, it's because there's two candidates that people are really excited about.
Right.
On the Republican side, not so much. You don't really see the level of happiness for their candidate for any of them, except I think actually Mike Huckabee has the most supportive supporters.
Oh, I don't know. Ron Paul seems to have some pretty big zealots.
Ron Paul, that's true. He has the craziest supporters, but I think at this point Ron Paul doesn't have a chance, and there's really... I don't get why he's staying in. I don't get why people keep giving him money. What are they hoping to accomplish?
I don't know. Why do people keep giving Ralph Nader money? Or why did they?
I think Ralph Nader was at least throwing a third-party bid. Ron Paul has stated continuously that he will not run as a third party.
The thing that I guess hurts me so much is that I actually kind of liked Ron Paul at the beginning.
I did too. In fact, I liked him up until I was in New Hampshire.
And you met his supporters?
And I met his supporters, and they were so crazy. They started yelling at Joseph Lieberman, Senator Lieberman from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Screaming
at
him. He's a nice guy, but even if he wasn't a nice guy, he's still a senator that you don't start screaming at when he walks out of an interview.
Yeah.
I thought it was in very poor taste, and, you know, obviously a supporter doesn't reflect very much on the candidate, but still, it's the type of
I've heard a lot of these reports that these Ron Paul supporters are just nuts, and I haven't heard anything. I mean, it's pretty well known, and I haven't heard anything from the Ron Paul campaign discouraging this type of just almost hateful campaigning.
Absolutely.
You wanted to talk about the Obama video, right?
Let's first actually finish talking about the
primary. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is Hillary Clinton finished at this point, or because there is still, you know, Texas and so coming up where, you know, in the next month there's going to be more delegates in a few states than have been in the past, you know, 2 weeks?
Well, I think there's kind of two different questions there, whether she's mathematically finished or if she's actually going to be finished.
Mathematically, she's not finished. She can easily still get the nomination, especially with superdelegates. I think there's still a good chance she does. But at this point, isn't it that the Democrats are kind of have spoken and they want Obama? And if it comes to that point where, when it comes to actual delegates, he's in the lead. He's won more primaries, more caucuses, more of the popular vote. And then the superdelegates throw their weight behind Clinton, and she ends up winning it. Wouldn't that sort of be a slap in the face to all the members of the Democratic Party?
Yeah, that's one of the things that can always confuse me about the idea of superdelegates, is the ability to change and to sway back and forth.
Well, it's never been an issue before, because it's always been so clearly one leader that they've never had to deal with it. But for... are we going to see a change in the rules, do you think, after this, if any of that happens?
I think any change in the rules... is going to take a long time, just because I think because Americans are so either disillusioned with the process or so dead set in the process.
Well, what's interesting is the Democrats are so excited now this election cycle, more so than they ever were with Kerry, that I think no matter what happens, if Obama ends up getting it and the superdelegates switch over to him, he gets all this stuff, you're going to have half of the Democratic Party incredibly pissed, thinking that the election was stolen from Hillary.
Right.
And if Hillary ends up getting it with the superdelegates, even though Obama has the more of the regular delegates and the popular vote, I think you're going to see a huge rift in the Democratic Party that's going to really damage them. I think if that ends up happening, they've lost the election, because you're going to have half the people stay home out of spite on election day.
There's been a lot of stolen elections lately.
It seems that way.
Yeah. And it's always getting stolen from Democrats.
It seems to be true, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I definitely agree with you there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just speaking for McCain, you almost hope that Hillary gets it and people, or, you know, that one of them gets it, they get pissed off and half the Democrats don't go and vote.
Yeah, which I think is a shame, because, you know, if they, after Super Tuesday, they had chosen one of them, I think they could have really gone behind them, and I think they would have been unstoppable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think this is really going to damage them. And, you know, while they're growing further apart in the Democratic Party, McCain has a chance now to sort of mend fences and bring all the Republicans together.
Yeah, I think with the Democratic Party, you had two very viable candidates and two very excited sets of supporters, and if they could have gotten together, like McCain seems like he's going to be united in GOP, they, like you said, they would have been completely unstoppable.
Yeah, and I'm going to make my prediction now. I think the winner is going to be McCain of the presidency.
I'm willing to throw that out right now. I'm willing to back you on that.
Yep. Okay, and moving on, the Obama video, Yes We Can. Did you get a chance to see this at all?
I actually didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
What it is it's a speech that Obama is giving, and some musicians that are actually of some notoriety, I don't remember who they are, put music to it. And as he's speaking, and as he says the phrase, "Yes, we can," they're all singing along with him, "Yes, we can." You know, it's what's amazing about it is it really seems like such a cult of personality is forming around Obama, the same that happened to Ron Paul. Do you notice that happening, or is that my imagination?
No, I've definitely noticed that, especially with some of, you know, I've seen a lot of people who are kind of, you know, very, what's the term, just very kind of laid-back supporters of Obama, who, you know, they'll throw their hat in the ring for him, but nothing past that. But there are so many people who basically, there is no other candidate right now.
Right.
That there is no candidate who is even partially viable for who could even think about becoming president.
Yeah, he seems to even, I mean, I like Obama, but he seems to have formed a little bit of a messiah complex, hasn't he? Like, he really believes, like, he's been sent here to deliver, you know, the good to the Democratic
Party.
He's the
savior of the Democratic Party in America.
Yeah.
And I think in his followers' eyes, and partially in his own
well,
eyes.
Well, let's correct. He isn't. He thinks he is.
Yeah, in his own eyes. We don't want to start inflating his messiah complex here.
No, we don't.
But you know, when we were at the rally.
Yep.
Was it the Monday before Super Tuesday?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Which I'll still never know why he was there. Apparently, it paid off for him because he won Connecticut.
Yeah. But what a weird place to visit on his last day. Mm-hmm. But I definitely got that feeling that, you know, you kind of get when watching a celebrity speak, or even watching someone like Pat Robertson speak.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You watch some of the televangelists, where the people, you know, women fainting, people cheering, you know, every other word that comes out of his mouth is responded to with a round of applause. It was almost creepy.
It was a little bit, definitely.
And I think one of the things that actually creeped me out a little less about Ron Paul is that he just doesn't have the numbers.
No, he doesn't have the numbers. I don't think he believes the hype. I think it's created by his supporters, which is interesting. But
yeah, I think it's surprising to see such a non-mainstream candidate get so much support.
Yeah,
if that candidate is not Ralph Nader.
Yeah. Well, let's move on.
Yeah.
Away from politics. On to entertainment.
Yep. Yeah, and actually, you know a little bit more about this than I do, so I'm going to let you start this. About the writer's strike, and it seems to be wrapping up.
Yeah, the strike should be over, which is great for the Oscars.
Yeah.
There's a tentative agreement. The wording's been hammered out, and it's going to a vote among its members.
Well, that's fantastic.
That is good.
Now, how many members are there exactly?
I have absolutely no idea.
It's in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But does it really, at this point, you almost wonder, was it worth it for either side? You know, this isn't some amazing deal. Neither of them really, you know, won this.
Mm-hmm.
So why couldn't this have been done months ago? Save thousands of people's jobs, you know? And what did they actually accomplish with this strike?
You know,
because there are, you know, I'm not a fan of unions.
Right.
And I don't believe strikes ever really work. But there are some times where, you know, after a strike, it really, one way or another, you know, either management has truly proven the point and shut it down, or, you know, the workers, you know, this is more probably in the 20s, but the workers really came out victorious. In this case, nobody won.
You know, this may just be the cynic in me, but there were times during the strike where I felt like, you know, there was no headway being made.
Mm-hmm.
No one seemed like they were going to come out happy.
Well, there's a good month where they didn't talk.
Yeah.
Because they refused to take about the animation.
Yeah.
Animation writers, or was it the animators that they wanted to be in their guild? I couldn't even figure that one out.
I don't remember. But there were times where I really felt like the writers, this was almost a PR stunt. Felt like it was on that level where, you know, there was a point where they didn't even care what the agreement was. They just wanted to stay in the limelight and make people hear their cause.
What I find interesting is actually someone who I very rarely agree with, Bill Maher, was very much against the strike.
Yes.
And I don't have his exact quote, so I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know, that the leaders have taken them into a war that they cannot win and that there's not going to be anything accomplished of. Of course, he was comparing it to the Iraq War, but I won't be so bold as to make that comparison.
No.
But still, and now, of course, with the Screen Actors Guild coming up, they're talking about also striking.
Wonderful.
I can't imagine it'll happen because, you know, billions and billions of dollars. I think the last estimate was like $9 billion in lost revenue because of this strike. Just awful. I'm glad it's over.
Well done, writers. Well done. And you've really proven your point and saved us all.
he's joking. He loves writers.
Oh, yeah. Just not unions.
Not
unions.
No, I think also in this case, the studios are being a little bit unreasonable also.
Absolutely, absolutely. But we've talked at length, not on this show, but on our personal conversations about the writer's strike, and just striking in general, unions in general, and this is really a non-victory.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone's coming out of here happy. I'm not coming out of this happy. No. I've missed a couple months of good TV.
Yeah, well, well missed a couple months of TV.
Yeah.
I've missed probably about 2 hours of good TV. Okay, but we'll move on to the box office, just a quick roundup. Unfortunately, you know who knows number one?
No.
Fool's Gold.
You are kidding me.
No. It,
God.
Fool's Gold and Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins came
no.
in second.
No, what?
Yes, and Hannah Montana was in third. It actually dropped 66%. And also, we're getting all this from boxofficeguru.com.
Mm-hmm.
Great website.
Yeah.
I suggest
thank you, Box Office Guru, for
checking
existing
out.
And helping us out.
Then The Eye fell 47% to $6 million. Juno made $5.7 million.
Is Juno still in the top 10?
Yes, it is.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's the highest grossing Best Picture nominee, which is amazing. Morgan, The Bucket List, after 27 Dresses, then Meet the Spartans, and There Will Be Blood. And there's been a casualty this weekend, and that was Vince Vaughn's Wild West Comedy Tour. It had an average of
$527
average per theater.
Just flat.
Flat. It made in the week $507,000. That's it.
That's so sad.
That's awful. Now, is that because people don't like those kind of movies, or is that because people don't like Vince Vaughn? Or is it both?
I think we discussed before. I'd actually be willing to see that.
I would, too. I think we actually suggested people go see that.
Yeah.
That's a movie I'm real interested in seeing, actually, is In Bruges.
I don't know a lot about that. Would you give
us a... Colin Farrell is playing a hitman along with... I cannot remember the guy's name. He's in Harry Potter, and he plays the Mad-Eye Moody. Brendan Gleeson. And they're a pair of hitmen, and they go visiting. It's supposed to be a real funny movie, real open Sundance. I'm looking forward to seeing it, if anyone
okay.
else sees
is
it.
Is that coming out this week?
Yeah, it opened last weekend.
Oh, last weekend.
Yeah,
okay.
This is all from last weekend.
Oh, okay.
This
all
is
right.
Probably going to be posted on Tuesday or Wednesday.
This should actually hopefully be going up tonight.
Oh, hopefully tonight.
Yeah.
So it may make a little bit of sense. And then we'll move on to the BAFTAs.
BAFTAs, yes.
Do you know much about that?
No.
I just know that Atonement won Best Picture. What a surprise. A
yep.
British movie winning Best Picture of the British Oscars. There's not much to say there.
No, although actually, just on Atonement, it seems like, at least in what I've been reading, that Atonement's lost a little bit of steam.
Yeah, it really has.
Because I remember, you know, when it was getting up to the release, when there were a lot of previews, it was talking, you know, hands down Best Picture winner,
mm-hmm.
hands down Best Actor, Best Actress.
Well, I think I was the one who said that, and that was before seeing it.
No, I thought I remember seeing in the actual preview.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Best Picture, you know, obvious Best Picture winner, and then it seems like, you know, the movie came out, it had a little bit of hype for a while, and then it just kind of disappeared a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
But I have actually the other things. Daniel Day-Lewis won Best Actor. What a surprise.
No surprise.
Julie Christie won, playing Edith Piaf,
Via
Rose, which
actually,
I heard the performance was incredible.
I really want to see that one.
Yeah, what really made me surprised and happy is Tilda Swinton won Best Supporting Actress.
Way to go, Tilda.
Yeah, who's going to win that in the Oscars now? Because it seems like everyone at some point has won. Amy Ryan won a lot of the, you know, newspaper critic prizes. Then
mm-hmm.
you've got I forget her name, the old woman from American Gangster was a surprise winner a couple days ago. Now Tilda Swinton and...
Well, who won for the Golden Globes?
That was... Oh, goodness sakes. Lady from Elizabeth.
Blanchett?
Kate Blanchett, yeah.
Yes.
So basically everyone who's been nominated has now won a major award.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, no surprise on Best Supporting Actor going to
Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
anything else interesting?
No, nothing really interesting happened.
No. Eddie Izzard was there.
Yeah, okay. Now, a real quick point we're just going to talk about, because it's not a year away from now, but I'm seeing in the news a lot, is the switch from analog to digital.
Yes.
Apparently people are very worried that people aren't going to realize it and are going to not have TV and wonder what's going on.
Well, I've seen a lot of things on TV.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, any show I DVR has at least one commercial
mm-hmm.
with a picture of an analog TV in a swimming pool reminding me that, hey, your antenna's not going to work. Are people still using antennas?
Apparently, because it says, this is a quote, for the people with rabbit ear antennas, I would say at least 50% won't get the channels they were getting. How many, is that like 10 people? I didn't realize that was really used.
Yeah, I mean, my grandmother has cable.
Yeah, your grandmother's old school.
She is really behind in the time. She still has a rotary phone.
Jesus. Well, but so just so you know, it's going to switch over. We'll bring it up every once in a while just to remind people. Because apparently it's a major issue and I'm really worried about it.
No, actually, just on that, isn't there something like a $50 voucher or something from the government?
Yeah, for people to switch over.
Why are we giving money so people can watch TV? Is this basically the government saying, here's $50, watch some TV?
Yeah, well, it's because they're forcing it to happen, because they're making the change. They're demanding it. It's not just happening naturally, which, again, I find just stupid. But, yeah, and then they're giving the $50 away.
I mean, and, you know, I could use $100 to buy an Xbox.
Right, and actually, our technical correspondent has just walked in.
Catherine, do you have anything to say about the switch from digital to analog?
Everything.
She has a lot to say. We're going to
have a special report with Catherine coming up on another show where we'll be talking a lot about this. She's got all the numbers. She's really been crunching them.
Yeah, and I think
she's got some fascinating perspective.
I think she spent the last 3 days at Cox Communications Home Office.
Yeah, and she's a graduate from Oxford.
Yeah.
In economics, she's won several Nobel Prizes. We're really happy to have her on the show.
Yeah, she's saying four. I think she's not including the one that she got a joint. Yeah, she was.
But is she including
team.
The Nobel Peace Prize?
Are you including the Nobel Peace Prize, Catherine? Yeah, she is. Okay. All right.
In case you haven't noticed, we're kidding about all this. Catherine is Andrew's wonderful sister.
Yes.
And we would love to have her on a show at some point.
Absolutely. Maybe not talking about the switch from analog to digital.
But something.
But something.
Did we just waste like 5 minutes on that joke?
Yeah.
It was a
really
good one.
Did.
I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, you're the music guy between the two of us. Why don't you talk about the Grammys?
Okay. Can you pull up the Grammys?
No. I will not do that.
All right. Well, let's see. I mean, actually, my biggest surprise was Herbie Hancock. Honestly, and you know, I haven't really been keeping up with the modern music and the radio, but I kind of had forgotten about him,
mm-hmm.
forgotten that he was even on the radar at all.
Yeah.
Did you mute your microphone?
I did. I was going to take a few minutes just to sit and drink my coffee as you talked, but you had to bring me in.
All right. All right. Well, you can mute your microphone.
Okay,
again.
I'm going to do that.
But yeah, Herbie Hancock. I mean, I hadn't heard one of his songs since Rocket, but you know, good for him. Good for Herbie Hancock. One of the big things actually is Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she wasn't there, but won, I think it was 5 awards?
Now, I have to ask, what difference does it make that she wasn't there? It's only they vote on it that night. When they voted, they had no idea if she was going to be there or not. So
right,
I don't really get
the
surprise.
I think the big thing was that she wanted to be there, but that problem with the visa.
Right, but why does that make it big that she won?
Well, it just,
am I just missing something here?
Well, it's just
I don't
a shame.
The well, music world, I guess.
Well, I mean, just put it in the perspective of the Oscars. You know, if some director or something like that, you know, his movie won 5 awards and he was denied...
Yeah, that's... Who's the guy that sexually assaulted that young girl and then escaped to France? Director of Chinatown. And The Pianist.
Roman Polanski.
Well, he won Best Director for the... Pianist, but he wasn't able to go because he would be arrested as soon as he stepped foot on American soil. So I know what it feels like.
Yeah, but isn't it a bit of a shame, a bit of a surprise?
It was, but only 17.5 million people watched.
Yeah.
That's bad. Especially
yeah.
With nothing good on TV. They had nothing else to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see. Is there any other interesting things? Amy Winehouse seems to be the big thing here, which I guess, you know, it really isn't that impressive. Apparently Shaka Khan picked the 2 trophies. Way to go, Shaka Khan.
And 100 people are turning off the podcast.
Way to go, Shaka Khan. All right. Let's move from Shaka Khan.
We're going to pass over that next item because we're actually short on time.
Are we?
Yes, we are, because my computer doesn't have a battery hookup right now.
Oh.
So we're actually trying to
beat
the clock, literally.
We can just quickly say Paris Hilton turned, what was it, 27?
I think she turned 27. Good for Paris Hilton. I think we'd have been better off just passing over that. We have taken a few credibility points. Minnesota, what happened there?
Minnesota, I think it was...
Nothing happened in Minnesota. Moving
on. Independence Falls, I think is the name of the town, hit below 40 on Monday.
Meaning it hit negative 40 or it went below 40?
Oh, no, it hit negative 40.
Okay, so it didn't hit 39. It hit, you know, that's below 40.
Yeah.
So the number isn't below 40. The temperature is negative 40. And are we talking Fahrenheit or Celsius here?
We're talking Fahrenheit.
Okay.
We're in America. negative 40.
Actually, I annexed your house.
Did you?
Now we're part of Puerto Rico.
Oh.
So we're not really American anymore.
Were you just 5 minutes ago telling me that we were wasting time with Paris Hilton?
I thought that was an important joke to make, and I stand by it.
Anyways, Minnesota with wind chill hits negative 40.
That's incredible.
So much for global warming, huh?
Global climate change.
Right, global climate change.
We're calling it global climate change.
So basically, anytime the temperature hits a number that we're not happy with,
it's global climate change.
I think Al Gore is soiling himself somewhere right now.
I have no doubt he is. Sure, he engages in some very frisky activities.
Okay, next one. This one is interesting. The Academy of Natural Sciences is displaying locks of hair from the first 12 presidents in a scrapbook.
Really?
Yeah.
How do they know it's their hair? Was this like hand-me-down hair? Did someone actually collect locks of hair from like Washington and Adams?
That would be the only
Jefferson
thing I could think
and
of. Didn't some of them wear wigs?
They did. So are these made of locks from the wigs, or is this all just made up? Couldn't they just take a cut of my hair and say this is Abraham Lincoln's hair?
Well, I think Abraham Lincoln had black hair.
Did he have black hair?
I
have darkish hair.
Not black.
Do you really know what color Abraham Lincoln's hair was? Someone said this is Abraham Lincoln's hair, could you really say no? That's not the right color. That's
actually
not the right shade.
Yeah, actually, we'll divert to my sister Catherine. What color is Abraham Lincoln's hair? She's our.
Okay.
Research monkey seems to be looking it up, and
black hair.
We're looking at black hair here.
That's a black and white photo.
There are some non-black and white photos there. And he's got
there are
hair.
No non-black and white photos of Lincoln.
I'm sorry.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Andrew.
I'm sorry, paintings.
Oh, and because, you know, paintings always show the subtlety of the hair.
It's black hair, Jeffrey. It's
well,
black
regardless,
hair.
You can see the hair on display.
And that, it kind of makes sense. What a pointless exhibit.
It is. It really is. Should we move on to Picasso?
Yeah, Picasso.
What color is Picasso's hair?
Catherine, can you pull up Picasso's hair?
Well, she's doing that. Let's talk. What? It was stolen.
Yeah, two
Picasso's hair was stolen.
Picasso's hair was stolen, and his ear was stolen.
And his ear. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But actually,
gray hair, whatever hair he has left.
It's gray. We're being told into my earpiece.
I'm pretty sure he's still. Or he's not still alive.
No, I don't believe Picasso is with us anymore.
Yeah, he's most likely dead.
Yeah, Picasso is dead.
Okay, we're talking about Picasso. Two of his paintings were stolen from a Swiss exhibition. When did he die?
April 8th, 1973.
So you weren't even close with him, possibly. I think he's dead. It's only been 30 years, maybe.
I
thought I read that somewhere last week.
I did switch my major from major death in art history a couple credits in. But, yeah.
Apparently you switch it over to making bad jokes on podcast.
That was my minor.
Okay, yeah. I think we took that class together.
Yeah.
The head of horse and glass and pitcher was stolen.
Yes.
That's all. You know, I think the coolest thing about this is that art thievery still happens.
Yeah.
I think that would be an amazing career.
Yeah.
I would love to be an art thief.
I thought the only time art was stolen was in remakes of the Thomas Crown Affair.
Or in Entrapment. Or was it? Didn't they steal some artwork in that?
That was one with Zeta Jones and...
Yeah, and the old guy
Connery.
That is alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah, art theft still happens, apparently. This is impressive.
Huh. Well, that is amazing.
I mean, you know, it's a shame that it's stolen, but way to go, guy who stole it.
Way to go, guy who stole it.
And, you used to estimate it at, closed it up. Oh, $4.5
million. Well, that's not that much.
Well,
it's more than I have.
Right.
But, you know,
but
there's some that are worth a lot more. And, that brings us into the next thing, which I feel it's very important to talk about.
Okay.
I know it's not on our list, but the woman who holds the title as the world's fastest knitter is going to have to defend her title, she's been challenged, and they're going to have a competition to see who is the fastest stitcher.
This is,
255 stitches in 3 minutes.
Wow.
Barely beating my record of 254.
Are you going to be there trying to take the title back?
I am going to show up, but I'm just going to protest it because I think they cheated my knitting record. And
I heard she's been taking knitting-enhancing drugs.
Well, you know, of course, that's the big controversy right now in the world of knitting, and
yeah.
The Warren Commission on that, I think, will shed some light.
Do we still do Warren Commissions?
We better.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I think it was named after a guy named Warren, wasn't it?
I
don't think it's a type of commission.
What is the Warren Commission? I remember hearing that joke somewhere.
The Warren Commission, that was on JFK, I believe.
Yes, it was. Yes.
I think if I remember my Oliver Stone movies correctly. But so then the last thing we've got, if you want to talk about that, because it's something that's very close to your heart as both a smoker and a drug user.
Yes, as a smoker and a drug addict. A number of mental health advocates in the UK are trying to get rolling papers to...
Like rolling papers, like cigarette rolling papers.
Yes, yes, like brands like Top or Rizla or that other one that I used to buy. Well, yeah.
Yeah. It
comes in a brown thing. Anyways, rolling papers for cigarettes, and they want them to start displaying warning, health warnings, not for tobacco, but for marijuana.
Huh. I find that interesting.
Yeah, my question is it the rolling papers need, or is it the responsibility to tell you that...
No, it's not.
You should...
I know what your question
is.
No, it's not their need, and it's just stupid.
It was just, the whole scenario is just, you know, you guys need to tell the general public that using your product for something that is illegal and not what it's intended for
right.
may be dangerous to your health.
I mean, that's like, you know, it's like something. I was trying to come up with a really good joke there. It didn't come to me.
It would be similar to, say, you know, putting a warning on a gun saying that putting it in your mouth and pulling the trigger would be hazardous to your health.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's similar to that at all.
Well, I guess not. And now we're
because what? Well, what's something that you could use for something else? And that's moderately commonly used for, but it's obviously that's not what it's intended for or its main use.
Syringes.
Syringes. Or saying for a car. Saying that they have to warn you that, drag racing is dangerous while driving.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing. I'm glad we came up with a good analogy, because otherwise the show would have really lost some of its appeal.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess, you know, we've had a lot of talks about, you know, corporate responsibility and responsibility of what warnings need to be on things.
Right.
And I support the rolling paper manufacturers in this one.
I do too.
Don't put warning labels on you.
They're going to cave.
Yeah.
It's not worth fighting for them. Though I love if you go get a pack of cigarettes in Europe, and I've done so on occasion, I'm a world traveler, they say on the sides of them, smoking will kill you. Or smoking kills. There's no, smoking while pregnant may injure the unborn. Smoking will kill you.
So their Surgeon General doesn't like to mince words?
No, he does not mince words. It just comes straight out, which I appreciate the bluntness of it.
I'm just waiting for it to get to the point where it's just, a frowny face, or smoking equals frowny face.
Yep.
And are we gonna do a little bit of gabbing here?
Yeah, we've got 2% of power before it's gonna switch down to
2%.
Yeah, it switches down to 15%. Which while we're talking, I'll try to switch that.
Okay.
What is something? Yeah, let's come up with a topic. Something. Throw it out there.
Let's turn to our technical correspondent, Research Monkey. What's on your mind today, Catherine? She'd rather not be talking on our podcast.
And that is the first time someone has told us that. We've talked to millions of people, and all of them have always wanted to be on our podcast.
Yeah.
Which brings us up, we still haven't heard from people.
No, we've been getting very minimal responses. Mostly
occasionally we'll get something, but not from the average Joe listener.
No.
And we want to get something from the average Joe
listener.
We
want something from the average listener. And if your name actually happens to be Joe Listener, we would really like to hear from you. And if you send us a copy of your driver's license, we will, with Joe Listener being your legal name, we'll do a background check. We will send you an autographed copy of the transcript of our first podcast.
We will.
Yes.
But who's going to transcript it for us?
That would be Katie.
Okay. There we go.
Actually, I heard an interesting thing on Jeopardy, and I thought this was kind of nifty, and I just thought I'd share it with you.
Nifty?
Yeah.
Are we in the 30s?
It was just swell. It was swell. Apparently, okay, was it Papa John's or was it Caesar's?
John's.
Papa John's during Superman Returns, Superman Returns kind of cash in on that, offered free pizza delivery for anyone living on Lois Lane.
Oh. I like to think of that 10-second moment of complete silence.
I thought it was really clever.
How many people live on Lois Lane?
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I'm sure there's someone who took advantage of that.
You know, we have, free stuff for the Clark Gables or something.
Is Gable a type of street?
The Gables. Isn't Gables a word for something?
I think it is.
I think it's like a horse farm.
Katie, could you look up Gable? Let us know what it means.
Gable?
Gable.
Gable.
Like Clark Gable's last name.
You know, I've gotten back into watching West Wing.
Have you?
Yeah.
How's that?
Good show.
G-I-B-L-E.
It's
not about what you're looking for. Clark Gable.
Just go to dictionary.com. Look it up there.
Is anyone still with us at this point?
The triangular portion of a wall between the lines of sloping roof.
That's what I was referring to.
Oh, okay. I guess a gable wouldn't be. I mean, you wouldn't really name your gable.
I would name my gable.
You name a lot of things.
I do name a lot of things.
But you were saying about West Wing.
Well, it's a good show.
Did you
throw that out there.
Did you see the episode of House with the girl from the West Wing in it?
Well, she's in every episode.
No.
Oh, you mean the one with the rock climbing?
Yes.
Yes, I did see that.
How did you think she did?
I thought it was a weak episode, actually.
It was.
I love her. I don't remember her name, but she's...
Donna.
She plays Donna. That's not her actual name, as far as I know.
No, it's not.
But it's a great show, and I think you should really check it out.
Me?
Just people in general.
Oh, because I watched West Wing a number of times.
Yeah, no, I think it's time we revive the West Wing. You know, I'd have voted for Jed Bartlett, despite the fact that he lied about MS. Who of us haven't lied about MS?
Did you see the episode of King of the Hill where they talk about the West Wing?
No, I did not. Did you see the last Sunday's episode?
Which one was that?
They banned trans fats.
No, I haven't.
It was good.
I did. Dave.
You did.
How was it?
It was weird. Why did I see that?
I think you watched it with Dad. But actually, there's an episode of King of the Hill where Bobby's class is asked to do a number of report mm-hmm. on their favorite president, and he does his on Jed Bartlett. And there's some joke where Jed Bartlett is a character played by Martin Sheen. He said, "Well, it's based on the real President Bartlett, isn't it?" And I just thought it was amusing. King of the Hill, great show.
Check it out. Great show. Okay, well, I think that's all that we have to say.
Yeah.
This is a pretty quick podcast. This is our second time doing it this way with a real loose format.
Yeah. Please let us know if it is.
I think it's going pretty well.
Yeah. Questions, comments, complaints, concerns.
It's all at wedigress@gmail.com.
Or check out our website at wedigress.podomatic.com.
Definitely.
All right. Should I talk us out?
Talk us out, Andrew.
All right. This has been We Digress with your hosts, Jeffrey Clues and Andrew Paulo. Have a great week and happy news. Mm-hmm.